Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invite you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Sister Khalida Akbar welcoming you to another episode of Narrative Aspirations. When we aspire, we go higher. Join us each and every Wednesday night from 7 to 9 p.m. inshallah, as we highlight the movers and shakers, the people in our community that use their God-given talents to help remake the world into a better place for all people. We are grateful that you are listening in with us tonight, and we look forward to bringing you some more interesting presentations from believers around the globe. We have been working tediously with Imam Shahid Abdullah and presenting his information. He is going to join us again tonight. He's also going to be expounding on his future plan. We will be presenting to you, inshallah, next week. We'll have another guest who also focuses on culture and gives us a perspective on how we are one humanity and how we will, inshallah, rebuild the world into a better place for all people. We're going to start with playing our PSAs, and then we are going to have Imam Shahid Abdullah bring himself into the queue, and he is going to share a little bit about himself, especially since we have some new listeners. We want him to know that we welcome his presence. We are grateful. We know that he is promoting and getting information out that is pertinent to not just only the success of African Americans, but success to humanity in general. And so we are going to continue to promote, continue to provide an opportunity to get the message out, and inshallah, he will be coming to your city or state in the near future. We'll be right back after this station break.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
Peace be with you and welcome to Positive Solutions to Critical Issues, hosted by yours truly, Dr. Jamal Rashid and instructor Henry Hasid. This program is sociologically as well as psychologically inclined, with Fitzer as its base. We examine the root seed to multiple effects that impact our holistic daily lives. So tune in each and every Thursday morning from 7 to 8 Eastern Standard Time here on American Muslim 360. Thank you and have a pleasant day.
Join us live every Wednesday morning from 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time with host Naima Latif and yours truly, Imam Kareem Hamid, presenting The Female Solution. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
And we are back, and we are here with our African-American griot, Imam Shahid Abdullah, who has been promoting on various platforms, and we encourage him to continue to do so. Imam W.D. Muhammad platform, the Mosque Cares, and also working interface with interface organizations such as Grandparents Around the World. We are going to go ahead and open his mic and allow him to share a little bit about who he is and go ahead and pick up where he left off last week on building a model community for all people and creating an identity within an identity here, within a culture for African Americans. Assalamu alaikum, Imam Shahid Abdullah, and welcome to Narrative Aspiration.
Wa alaikum assalam, Sister Khalila. How are you doing today?
I am well, thank you. Alhamdulillah, and yourself?
Doing very well. I think, as I said so many other times, it's strictly honor for me to be on your program and get a few minutes to say some words to you, to your guests and your people that listen to you, and to give some of this information that I was blessed to receive, time being in the community for since I guess we say since 65 almost, but it's a real honor and a blessing. I would like to take up for where I did leave off last broadcast, if it's okay with you.
Alhamdulillah.
Okay. Again, I am Shahid Abdullah, Imam Shahid Abdullah, African Bilalian American griot for the African American people. And I tell the stories and the history of the African-American, do research on our culture to bring it to life, to put it in a position by which we all can use it for our advantage. I write books. I've written 4 books, Success is Automatic, River Gold, Spirit of Allow, and Uncovering the Scheme of Preventing the Evolution of the African-American People. And with that, also have in my collection the book called The Negro Market, which defines the progress the African-American people made between 1896 and 1932, a part of the history that's completely left out of all other studies and all the other information. Even in black study courses, they don't talk about this particular book, and it's called The Negro Market. It was done in 1932, and it has this history that's is far beyond just knowing about Black Wall Street in Tulsa, Oklahoma. That's just the tip of the iceberg. When you get the opportunity to get this book and my other books also, you're going to find there are many, many things in there that help connect the dots. And that's what we're going to be talking about a little bit this evening, connecting the dots. Connecting the dots between the religious aspect that we have to guide our lives and the practical application of that religious aspect in the developing ourselves in what we call the dunya, or what we call the world. Imam Muhammad, and on the 20th of February 2000, he was giving a talk at Eastern Carolina University, and the subject was Blacks Need a Cultural Home. And what Imam Muhammad said, he said that, and we should build on our own diversity. Don't give up, brothers. Don't give up your work on building your own identity as a black man, as a African-American. Don't give that up. Keep working on it. We have to build a cultural home for ourselves. Then he goes on and says, we build our own cultural home with our own distinction, and we contribute to the beautiful quilt of the diversity of the cultural aspects of the United States and the world. Now, that was in 2000 when he gave that talk and led off with that comment, quote. He was saying to us, we can't forget that when we begin to ask and we want everything, we want our share of the hereafter, we want the good of the hereafter, don't forget our share of the dunya. He said that many, many times to us, and just in the religious term, just coming from Quran. But this particular aspect here, he puts emphasis on culture because he brings it clearer to us, so we won't be as, let's say, like Christians. We say the Christians get sort of tipsy or drunk on the spirituality of their message, so it becomes the impact of it becomes lost in that spirituality. He wants us to understand, Imam Muhammad wants us to understand the practical application of religion as well as the spiritual impact it has on our lives. The practical application of religion is to live a better life, not just as an individual, but as a culture. See, the main aspect here, what he's addressing, is the fact that we're not individuals. Although it sounds like when you say Allah created Adam, and Adam and from man created a woman, but a lot of that, as Imam Muhammad has explained to us so many, many times, that's talking primarily about the mind. That Allah created the mind, the ability of this creature that we call a human being to encounter with the physical creation and bring about a whole new way of looking at this creation, a whole new way of putting this creation into perspective, because of what develops inside the human being, which is the mind. So Imam Muhammad says, man means mind. And he makes great emphasis on that. Man means mind. But because we have a tendency to get lost sometimes in space, we get it off in these areas of spiritual growth and development. We forget all about the reality of the earth. We forget all about the reality of walking on the earth, the reality of our footsteps, the reality of eating food, the reality of being the food of the earth. We forget about those things sometimes and get so spiritual, we almost think and act as though that spirituality is all that is, and it is not. It is not all that is, but it is. That's what Allah says. It is. Not all that is, it is. Just the same as the material world is not all that is, but it is. The combination is what Allah draws us to. And it's this combination that Imam Muhammad has brought us to. And it's this combination he has got. He has brought the African-American people, not just the Muslim, but the African-American people to the doorstep of this reality, which gives us, meaning those people who have come out of the understanding and development of Imam Muhammad and that which came before him, us, the opportunity to take this into the next stage. The next stage is bringing it into reality, not just preaching. Preaching is just one aspect of delivering a message. The other part of the message, delivering the message, is teaching. Teaching is the power to give the proper application, to give the proper information to a person that they can apply it in reality and build something with it and do something with what you have taught them. Not just feel good about it, not just say, oh, I felt good today, as many of our brothers and sisters that we go into the different other religions and churches and even offshoots and feel good. You can almost go in any church, put your finger on any church, any denomination of churches, and when the followers come out of that church, the majority of them will tell you they feel good. So if all we come away with from our message is we feel good, we're simply duplicating that which came before us, which was empty messages. No, we have to have a practical application of the knowledge that we receive. That practical application that we can apply, not just in our spiritual life, but in our practical life. And the practical life of the human being begins with what Imam Muhammad pointed out, with culture. Don't forget your culture, he says. Don't forget your culture. We must have develop our cultural identity, our uniqueness. Allah says clearly in Quran, he created everyone. And he said if he wanted just one, if he wanted just one person, one group, he could have done that. That would have been easy for him, he says in the Quran. But he created man in multitude. Although we understand, those who look with their mind and their intellect know that there's not but one humanity. Humanity is different than the creature that lives in the water you might call fish, aquatic. We're different than that. We're different than the fowl. The human being is different. But within the group of humanity is not just one spiritual development, but there is a uniqueness in every human being. It's so much so that Allah has made the right down to our fingertips to be different, to make sure we get this understanding that we all have a uniqueness. And it's that uniqueness what will contribute to the fabric of the human being to make a better world. If we don't get an opportunity to develop that uniqueness, if for whatever reason, whether we are sitting on a sidewalk somewhere, whether we're eating out of a garbage can, or whether we're in jail, or whether we're in the White House leading the country, or whatever we're doing, if we don't get an opportunity to promote and nourish that uniqueness within us, then we have missed that which God has given us as a gift to us. He created that uniqueness. He created that uniqueness and encourages us to develop it. And if we spend all of our time trying to be like someone else, or trying to be like some, or trying to melt into the rest of another group, or saying that all humanity should look like one, no, that's not even close to what Allah is saying. He's saying there's one humanity, and in that humanity are different unique parts within that humanity, and I want them all to be able to work together. That's the concept. He's talking about collaboration, collaboration of differences, not being the same thing, not we all are the same thing, all human beings are the same. No, that's a understanding that Imam Muhammad never taught that. I would say some churches don't even teach that anymore, but humanity is one. There's one aspect when you talk about human, the human being, the human creature. But from that one comes many. And it's that many where we should put our emphasis. Why? Because that's where Allah puts the emphasis. He don't put the emphasis on the group. He put the emphasis on the individual to contribute to the group. If the individual is not contributing to the group, then the group will be lost. One rotten apple can spoil the bunch. That's why the individual is so important. That's why when we look at the story in the Quran and in the Bible who talks about shaitan, we see this individuality get so corrupted within his own self that it forget about the needs and the quest of others, that it only thinks about his own. Now, that's when the individual becomes dangerous. As important as the individual is, we have to know it's important, or Allah never would have created never would have created the jinn. Shaitan is a derivative from the jinn. Shaitan is not a creation. Shaitan comes from the jinn nature. And it corrupted into shaitan, corrupted into the enemy of itself, corrupted to the enemy of the human being. But Allah created the jinn. And he created the jinn so the jinn would be able to express individuality, be able to express individuality, even if everyone else is going a different direction. There's that jinn nature. That jinn nature will give us the power to say, la. And that's the first thing that most people say when they come into Islam. They say, la ilaha illallah. La, meaning that Allah gives us the power to say la. And the power to say la is so important for human development. It is probably one of the most important parts about human development. If we didn't have the power to say la or no to those things that holds us in place, like the weather or like the land in which we live or like the environment, if we couldn't say la to that, we would never be able to progress out of the earth like a tree. The tree is where it is because it cannot say la. And even if it could, it can't do anything about that.
Alhamdulillah, we have a question, Brother Imam.
Yes.
Yes. Excellent, excellent. Thank you for giving us that perspective. And also, not just perspective, but that tafsir with Imam W.D. Muhammad, Rahim Alayh, spoke about in terms of culture and individuality, because right now we see a lot of people looking for answers, even amongst the Muslims, going from one massage to the masjid or musalla to the next, trying to be working with Imam W.D. Muhammad, Rahim Alayh, one minute, next minute Sufi, next minute it's just something else coming one day with your hijab one way and next week a niqab. And I know that's all like surface information for us to talk about. But what I'm trying to say is there is a mad push right now, being that I talk to different people. I work at a summer camp that's very diverse now. This is the first year that Masjid al-Shaheed, who is a masjid that follows the leadership of Imam W.D. Muhammad Rahim Alayh, has children from, almost of our children come from another masjid. here in Charlotte, and most of them from predominantly immigrant masjid. The reason being, most of our children have already grown up, and they're not summer camp age anymore. And so, mashallah, we're grateful to Allah for that. They all did go through, mine included. But mashallah, I'm still able to work and interact with the new children that have came in, and they're just a blessing. They're full of joy, and it's a bundle. But I see that there is also among African-American Muslims this identity crisis. It seems like we need to address it, because we're all one humanity. We are Muslims. We are following this scene to the best of our ability. But there is a divide within that, a search for identity within that. And instead of focusing on the likeness, it's more like what we are lacking that they focus on, or what they see that is not coming from maybe traditional methods, or if we're not strictly Quran and Sunnah or Hadith, then we're not really on the same level of scholarship. And so I don't know. I know this is a little off, but it's still talking in reference to culture and building that Muslim culture within a culture, because we are actually a culture within a culture of Muslims in the United States of America. And so if we can even define ourselves as Muslims in a way that if you can take us through the meaning of culture in itself, what does it mean? We know the traditional culture is a way of life, your traditions, your religion, your language, your dress, your food. I mean, I'm a social studies teacher. We start every year out with talking about culture and having the children bring in examples. But what is culture in a sense of identifying who we are as human beings and how we can use it to better the whole humanity, inshallah?
Well, that is a beautiful question in the way you put that, too. Culture, actually, as I was talking about how Allah created man in that way, culture is the process by which he gives individual a life. He gives the individual a life through culture. Culture has the responsibility of helping to build a blueprint in each individual that's born within that culture. It builds a blueprint on a direction they can go in their life. And when they follow that blueprint and mix it with their own uniqueness, then they bring the best out of that culture, and that culture brings the best out of the individual. Culture is essential, to existence of a people. Anytime a people don't have a culture, then they're easily manipulated through the society by other people, by other groups who do have cultures. And this is where we run into a problem sometimes when we're dealing with other Muslims throughout the world who come from a culture. They don't hesitate. I don't want to lay blame that way by saying they don't hesitate, but they don't seem to object to the participation of the African American participating in conversations and a way of life with a lacking of a cultural base. As long as we talking Quran, as long as we talking Islam, as long as we're using the Quran, they accept that as a reason to get to the table. But the moment they want to separate themselves from us, they just name the culture they're from. They are either Egyptian or pick any number of the cultures that produce Muslims, and they just name that's their culture. And they would say to African Americans, well, we don't really do that in our culture. See, they would begin to separate themselves because they know that every human being is supposed to come from a culture, and that culture gives them an identity, a uniqueness. And it's not bad. See, our problem is we have been conditioned to believe that the African American people are bad. It's bad to be an African American. We've been taught that by another culture. So we don't lean to our culture as easily as other people lean to theirs. But if we lean more toward our culture, they will begin to understand we have a strength like they do. And we have, and our interpretation of the Quran stands on a foundation as strong as their interpretation stand on. You see, they stand on their culture as their reasoning to interpret the Quran. And they look at us as if we don't have that right. We don't have that particular thing, but we do. And this is what Imam Muhammad was expressing so much. We do have that. We have to cling to it. We have to recognize it. So we have to hunt it out. We have to work with it, and we have to develop it. It has been every time our culture begins to raise its head above the water, there's someone standing on the sideline trying to cause the evolution of the culture to go backwards. And we see that in all of the different aspects. But we as Muslims, we must understand that Islam, the way of life that we follow, which makes us accept the idea that we are conscious Muslim. We are Muslim because we want to be. Not just because Allah created everything Muslim to serve him, but because we want to be. We have that power to say la, we have the power to say yes. We are conscious Muslim, but we should understand that Islam is not a culture. Muslim is not a culture. The culture is affected by Islam. Whatever the culture is, Islam affects that culture and makes it a better culture. And if the people in that culture becomes Muslim, then their behavior makes that a better culture. It enhances the culture. This is why you can go into all over the world, you'll see there's different cultures. All of them call themselves Muslim. When you go in Russia, it doesn't make any difference. When you have Muslims there, they call themselves by the name of, they're either Arab, they're either Pakistani, they go by all the different names. But it is Islam that affects and shapes that culture, and it is their willingness to be Muslim, they have committed themselves to be Muslim, which enhances that culture. This is the same thing it will do for our culture, the African-American people. We just have to believe it. Our problem is we don't believe it. Our problem, we don't believe that Allah would raise us to the point where our culture would be significant just as all other cultures on the planet Earth. We don't think that. We don't. We talk about that. We say that, oh, yeah, well, but we don't even believe it because we go all the way over in Africa, look under the pyramids for our culture. We look on top of the pyramids for our culture. We join every group we can to try to find our culture. When the logic, when the reality and the faith and the facts point to the evidence that we were created right here in America from all the different aspects that came from Africa and Europe, and those that were here, we are created from that situation. And that situation then was what they call breeded amongst themselves, which didn't happen anywhere else on the planet Earth. We come from that experience. And it's that experience that Allah has given the power for those people to form themselves into a culture. And we've been doing that. Over the years, it may not seem like it to many of the your listeners or other people, but we have been doing that. Even when we look at Turner, we look what he did. Nathaniel Turner, Nat Turner they called him. Nat Turner was back in the colonial times, African-American. Most African-Americans didn't even really see themselves as becoming separate from the slave master or the slave owner. Many of them still lived on the plantation. But there were some who were separating themselves and forming a culture. That group who did that was called the Geechee, the Gullah Geechee people. They come from the effort of the African developing a language amongst themselves so they can communicate and begin to think on their own, separate from the slave drivers or the slave master. And that is the foundation that began the African-American culture. And that Geechee language is not a Swahili or is not any language on the planet Earth. It's separate from all the languages. Some even wanted to give it a Creole. They say it's Creole. No, it's not Creole. Creole is French. The foundation of the Geechee language comes from English, and it comes from the lower class of the English, those who came from England, the British who came from England, who were of the lower class. They used they used to call each other rednecks, and they used to call each other crackers and things of that nature. All that language comes from the British, from England during colonial time. Our people picked it up, and they started to use it and say, okay, we'll use that and mix it with the different languages we had amongst the different tribes. They used it and covered it up, and they put Arabic in there. Arabic became the key component to the language called Geechee. And then many of you even hear your parents or grandparents use the word fitna. And you as Muslims, you know fitna is in Quran. But they use it as a way of saying the trouble. You go cause trouble, you go get in trouble or get ready to do something. And we still use it all over America right now, different words that our people invented during that particular time. Now, Turner, Nat Turner come out of that time. Now, what made Nat Turner stand out is that Nat Turner was raised by a European American who allowed his wife to teach Nat Turner. To teach Nat Turner how to read. And the book she used most was the Bible. She used the Bible to teach Nat Turner to read English. And Nat Turner became a student of the Bible. So he's one of the few that we know about who actually became a student of the Bible and not one who just preached and didn't really know what was in the Bible. See, there's a lot of our people, African-Americans, when they started letting them come into the Christianity, a lot of them couldn't read. They couldn't read the English, so they would add words. They would add things together, and they would preach it and talk up a point to the Bible, but they wasn't really reading the Bible. But Nat Turner could read the Bible from cover to cover. And he, as he grew older, she started teaching him when he was about 7 years old. And as he grew older, he got so good at it, they used to have him going around teaching the European American the meaning of the Bible. Not in so much the meaning, but giving them a breakdown of what was in the Bible. But Nat Turner began to form an idea and concept of his own, and he said to himself, what I'm reading in the Bible about saints and children of God and the Savior that looked like my slave master and his family. Action of the slave master is that action that one is called in the Bible Satan. So Nat Turner formed in his own mind, his own thinking, that the European was the devil. And so he convinced other slaves of that time that was true. They had to behead the European. And that's what started the Nat Turner, they call it a revolution, but Nat Turner coming against the European. But actually what he was doing, it was a religious point he was making. And that helped us, those who look at the history, that helps us to understand there was a degree of uniqueness and individuality of the African American back during colonial times. That our culture was being formed back then. But we have to see that. If we don't see it, we will never develop what we call cultural pride or love of culture. We will always be looking for someone else to tell us who we are and what we should do.
Yes. We have a caller in queue. We're going to go to 727-488. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to Narrative Aspirations. Should be coming. 727-408.
I don't hear anyone.
Yeah, it's coming. It's just going around. Just give us a minute.
Okay.
All right. Coming. All right. So 727-408, thank you for calling. Welcome to Narrative Aspiration.
Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. Bless the all the children. Praise be to Allah.
Alhamdulillah.
You doing okay? You doing okay now?
I can hear now.
Yes, thank you.
Oh, okay, Allahu Akbar. Okay, dear. Alhamdulillah. And you've been doing great, huh, sister?
Yes, thank you. It's so great. Glad and good to hear your voice. Thank you.
Allahu Akbar. Yeah, the battlefield is a growth process. And, no matter how we going on and doing it as a human being, we'll know that we stop at the point that Allah wanted to stop at. And if we push a little forward a lot of time, we can give ourselves a lot of trouble. Imam Muhammad, he would say how Allah be, evolving us. He said, and then we look around and we just want to put some of us in there. And a lot of time, us have to stop because of the mercy of Allah, so we can be in a position to keep desiring, keep wanting to and thirsting for something better than what we have. That'd be like Allah put into us our spirit, something that deal with our good traditions, not just the spirit, I like to do this on this day and that day and that day. No, but the fact that it just is grounded in our soul and we respond with the better spirit of each other. Look, last night I was on the program and about marriage, dealing with marriage, and there was a lot of different things. They had a book somebody wrote, and it was saying the different things you should ask about with the in-laws and knowing the person's situation before and after. And I listened to all that, right? And I said to myself, I said, I wanted to make sure that I be fair before I ask the question, because when new knowledge comes about, people can have a lot of different questions, but a lot of times they begin to play with it, they get negative or no kind of real results at all. So the key to everything that we take up from life is our service. Brother Saeed, Abdul Saeed, he's in service.
Mm-hmm.
Sister, you in serving. Minister Brown, be serving. Let me tell you, I was concerned. I was trying to figure out how I look as a ummah in this day and time, as compared to maybe when Muslims was had a certain rule over the Spain during that period. And so the narrator, he was talking, saying what was going on, giving their perception and everything, what they would like us to see in this, right? And I look at it and say, well, okay, then. I say, well, that seems like it's all right. And if somebody got something else, let me look into that too. But the bottom line is, what's going to make us all successful as believers is that we trust our lives of ultimate authority in our life and do what we can do. Study, keep that thirst in our spirit to be successful. And always remember that nationalism is nationalism. Blackness is blackness. God consciousness is something else. But I think we want to make sure that we know, and we want people to know. And then after time, though, we be moving into we really be on that plane of our God consciousness at that point there, because why we just... We just, we get you putting in the work. And what else? It's going to get rough sometimes. We're going to be anxious sometimes. And we're going to be having a rough time, too. But that's life, And it's a good spirit that keeps us going, keep our intention pure, and allow it to be constantly feeding us. Ask of each other to be workers. Ask Allah to utilize all of us. And always have him at the ultimate authority in my life. Let me tell you what happened. Right before I called him, about 5 minutes to seven, they had Mitch McConnell, Senator Mitch McConnell, he was on TV giving a talk about something. I know it was something controversial. I can't remember from a couple of days ago. But what happened, he stopped. He froze. And so the people didn't say, what's wrong? They were saying, oh, okay, do you have something else that you want to tell the people? And what it was, he was actually in a state of mum. He couldn't do nothing. He just was there. He couldn't say nothing. Okay, I said, oh, okay, then. And at that time, I was looking at a thing about Suleiman, and it said his kingdom. And he said the jinn would always be helping Suleiman, but they didn't want Suleiman to know. And Suleiman, be always asking for things. And say, so what happened when I heard this on, you know, I'm listening to this animation thing, and they say Suleiman asked something about this heaven and all the riches or whatever, back that he could go. And what happened, they say, Suleiman froze. And they said, well, but what's wrong with Suleiman? He said, Suleiman dead, but he been dead, but you just didn't know it. And at that point, that's when I heard on the news about Mitch McConnell. He just froze. And know what happened, though? He came back. And when he asked about the moment, he said, look, that moment passed. I'm moving on. So, you know, so praise be to Allah. That's a good spirit there. But there's sometime, you know, and Allah shows it then. This is the month of Muharram. And inshallah, we get to fast Friday. And we know how important this month is to us. And for just to see that happen at that time, that is a more of an affirmation for my spirit of life and wanting to do what Allah wants me to do and what I want all of us to have it, you know. And so, we have to do is just, you know, read the course. So Allah, Akbar, you know, alhamdulillah. Yes, oh, yes, sir, I wanted to let you know I completed something. Well, I got like one more chapter on the reflection of Quran that I put in poem form. Well, not the juicy, but it's just my reflection during the month of Ramadan. And my husband said she'll be, inshallah, they'll be utilizing it. And so on the Sister Claire Mama School and also a program outside of the school. And also I did like a play, a screenplay. Me and his brother put together and his wife over there in Ethiopia, and they dealing with it. For what happened, he told me what it got digitized. And I'm have that out, inshallah, and I want to make sure that you get one. You know, you put the spirit of inspiration into this movement of AM Precinct and CWSC, and I seen it, and I said, wow. I said, because you struck me. People been telling me if there's something the way you was about it, how adamant about it, the spirit and the commitment, the dedication you brought to what you was doing, you know, and what it did, it rubbed off. And then I found out I was rubbing other people off, and they were rubbing other people off. So what it was, that good was being passed around. You see, that's what we miss many times, and our neighborhoods right now. That's why we have to have all these different laws and different things, how we got to act in a marriage then. Because why? We can cause so many different discrepancies and different kind of things that going on, fouling relationships, that we have to go through a whole lot of stuff now. What it was, the hood, the wisdom of the hood, the environment was in, we lost attachment to that. You know, we didn't increase our inheritance. So, but it's a lot. Those things are good, and I feel like if I return strongly, and I want us to work to continue to be pleasing to Allah, and you know, keep on writing, my brother and sister, keep on supporting his efforts on the show. So, alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum
assalam. Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much, Brother Bilal. We welcome you. We welcome your comments. And, of course, we always welcome your poetry as well. And may Allah continue to bless you and guide you as well.
I mean.
Walaikum assalam, Imam Shahid Abdullah. Would you like to respond?
I thought what the brother was explaining, his views were pretty were his views, and they were solid views. And I think that some of those things that we see as individuals and as a group does require some interpretation, but the interpretation is not necessarily from one person. Sometimes right. we see the same situation differently because Allah created us different, created us to be able to see things differently. That brings up the point that that is why Allah says he created us each with our own uniqueness, because it's that uniqueness that each of us finds in something, and especially in our interpretation of something. You may see something one way, another person may see it another way, and then there's third person, and of course there's more people who see it differently. And if everybody is sincere, that those differences is what make the picture clear. The differences that make the picture clear as it can be, because it's coming from all the different perspectives. And once you get the different angles and different perspectives of something, you can see exactly what it is. But if you just come up from one point of view sometimes, you miss the point. So Allah created us different for that reason, so we can make progress. So we can make progress in an old saying that if the blind lead the blind, they both fall in the ditch. That's why we all don't see the same thing the same way.
Right,
because it's not profitable.
Oh, yeah.
Well, alhamdulillah, thank you again for joining us. And Imam Shahid Abdullah, you may proceed. Thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum. We'll take a short station break. Inshallah, we'll be right back.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Martha Nyla Abdullah, Executive Director for CWSC, the Community-Wide Shura Conference. With God's name, the Merciful Benefactor, the Merciful Redeemer, we are openly acknowledging that God is one, that there are absolutely no partners with God, and that Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, is a servant and messenger of the one God. Through his example, we are able to live in this time, 450 years beyond the time of enslavement, here in the United States of America. Proactively and from the mercy of the Almighty, we stand with the human family that Juneteenth is a reminder of what once was and how we can take a stand and be a contributing factor to the human family for the best of humanity, continuing to strive with the excellence that our foreparents stood with and for, many who lost their lives because they chose not to be subdued and treated inhumanely. Juneteenth, again, is as a soul arising by the mercy of the one God. And now, welcome, dear human family, to Juneteenth 2021.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Kareem Hamid, radio station manager for American Muslim 360 Radio, inviting all hosts to the upcoming host meeting scheduled this Saturday from 12 to 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Assalamu alaikum.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem.
Assalamu alaikum. Join us each and every Sunday from 5 to 7 Eastern Standard Time and 4 to 6 Central Standard Time for the broadcast of the contemplations of Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad, sharing his insights, his wisdom, and his knowledge here on America Muslim 360, utilizing the books edited by Brother Morocco, Brother Ghani, and Brother Ronald B. Shaheed. So we look forward to your presence as we share the insight, the logic, and the thinking of our beloved Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad here on America Muslim 360 on a myriad of subject matter. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. Assalam. And all hosts, you know that we are going to quarterly. That is just a reminder. So just keep checking your emails, and we look forward to hearing from you. Listening audience, we encourage you to listen in every day to any of our shows. You will be delighted and elevated in knowledge. So, alhamdulillah, Imam Shahid Abdullah, can you give us some information on your books, how we can access those, and what is your next event that's coming up? What are your future plans?
Yes. Thank you very much, sister. The books As I said before, I've authored four books, Success is Automatic, The River Gold, Spirit of Bilal, and Uncovering the Scheme. And also in my collection, my knowledge collection, I have The Negro Market. That was done in 1932. I was blessed by Allah to be able to get hold of it, and now I'm adding it to the collection. Your listeners can get it also as part of that collection. They can call me at 908-296-2558. 908-296-2558. Or they can email me at Shahid, S-H-A-H-I-D, _ Abdullah, A-B-D-U-L-L-A-H, 2000@yahoo.com. And I would get, or you can go to Amazon and go and put in any of those titles or my name, and you can buy them from Amazon. Although I give you a good break when you get them directly from me, because it'll be a whole collection. That and where we're headed in terms of the future, we are simply taking advantage of the opportunities that were presented to us, and now we're working on presenting that one of the books. We are working on presenting that at as a play, an actual play, a step above a reading performance. And we're going to have it ready probably by February is our target date for that. Then we have a target date for appreciating the development and growth of the African-American people as we fought for our independence during the Revolutionary War in 1776. And we won that independence from Great Britain in 1783. That's when it officially ended, when General Cornwallis surrendered to George Washington, Colonel George Washington. And African-Americans celebrated those victories. Many of them lost their lives, and many of them fought. Over 5,000 African-Americans we know that fought in those battles and had some great heroes like that worked with Lafayette, like Amistad, who gave him all the – he worked in the espionage department, and he was terrific, great honor and great message. And we also have several other African-Americans who've like Freeman. He actually is on record for spearing one of the generals in that war from Great Britain. And Freeman was a free man. He was free. He wasn't a slave. He was a free African during that time. And he fought for our freedom. So we're doing a celebration on every 4th of July, that weekend of 4th of July. We're going to put together a banquet of sorts to bring about the attention to our part in causing this freedom that we have inherited. Sure, we understand that the European-American covered up with a scheme and kept the African-Americans out of the original development of voting in the special national elections for the those who run the country. They did that some 8 years after the independence, around about 8 or 9 years. It wasn't really approved until 1789, around 1789, when they approved the Constitution. It was under the Federation before the Constitution, the Articles of Federation, Confederation, which gave them the power to govern their state. So that's what we're going to be doing that, and that's going to be coming next July, July 4th weekend. That's going to be our two big events. That's going to have a fashion show. It's going to be a men's fashion show, by the way, during that program. Although we're not going to leave the sisters out. Don't want the sisters to jump up and say, what? But it's going to be highlight. We're going to highlight a new development for men's culture. cultural look.
Okay, so we're going to go ahead and close out. Yes, we are looking forward to that. If you have any questions or comments, please don't hesitate to email us at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. The reference will be Narrative Aspirations. And Imam Dawuddin Muhammad recordings. We're getting ready to play Imam Dawuddin Muhammad Rahimahullah Alayh because he's already returned to his creator, but his legacy lives on, and he's left us rich knowledge and wealth in his recordings, his books, and his literature. So may Allah grant him the highest station in Jannah. And we are going to close out with Imam Shahid Abdullah, and we thank you so much for joining us tonight here on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Imam Shahid Abdullah, will you close us out, please?
Thank you very much, Sister Khalila. Rabna tina the dunya hasanatan wal akirati hasanatan wakina adabanat. Our Lord, give us the best of this world and of the hereafter, and protect us from the fire. Ameen.
Ameen. Thank you.
We'd like to say to you, and we'd like to submit to the nation, the voice of the human soul. Today, speaking from Homewood, Illinois, Imam W.D. Muhammad. Takbir!
Praise be to Allah. Praise be to God. That's it. That is. Thank you. Thank you. Well, we, as always, we are very pleased to be here for this occasion. The radio broadcast on the first Sunday of each month. And we are happy, very happy, to see the many of you who are here from various cities, towns around in these United States. We're very pleased to see you always. We thank God for our presence, and we ask him to guide our mind and to guide our tongue so that we please what he has created us for, the calling that he has extended to us, the creator of all things. I have to put my glasses on here. I forgot to do that. When we look at the world with the eyes of the struggling person, struggling with their life or with his or her life, struggling with life, We respond to what we are looking at. And most often, we are looking at the world all about us, of man-made things. And many times, man-made things in the environment brings us happiness, joy, lifts our spirit. But sometimes man-made things do just the reverse. Make us feel depressed, make us feel lonesome. Especially those persons who have what I call a free spirit, a free spirit. Persons who have a free spirit, not a free spirit for disobeying intelligence, or a free spirit for disobeying moral decency, have a free spirit for just exploring the world of wonderful things and getting soul and spirit satisfaction. That's the free spirit I'm talking about. From persons of that free spirit, The world can be the man, the world of mankind, of man, can be very depressing. too cluttered. The spirit, free spirit, it flies high. It flies far. It needs space. And sometimes man's world is just too crowded, too cluttered, too confining for that spirit that God created the human being to have. You know, life, another way of saying life is existence. Existence covers not only the living things now, it also covers off non-living things. And existence itself for human life has what is needed in it to bring human life to move and get on the path to its success. Just the life itself, the existence itself has that. But if that life is influenced by and attracted by things small, and the intelligence hasn't been turned on to things big, then the life, the consequences will be that the life will be satisfied to live on small things and grow small. And life is conditioning, you know, conditioning. And when a fighter has to go in the ring, a boxer, like Muhammad Ali, the greatest one who stepped into the ring, the greatest of all fighters who stepped into a ring, that fighter has to condition himself. He conditioned himself to win. If he fails to condition himself, he may lose. And most likely he will lose if he fails to condition himself. Everything has to be conditioned. Everything that exists has to be conditioned. If it's not conditioned, it will not last. And it takes effort to condition life for its success. And I mentioned existence in itself being enough to move life forward. What is that existence? When you know, when you look at a rock and you don't see enough anything happening, it just seems to be permanently fixed where it is. It shows no life, no growth, no movement. And then you think about yourself. You should feel blessed that you are not a stone. Yes. And when you look at those living things that attract our attention and impart sometimes great messages, holding knowledge to our minds, the lion, the elephant, the other beautiful creatures roaming the earth, attractive creatures roaming the earth. But when you think on the smallest and the biggest, and then you think on yourself, you should feel blessed. Because you don't have to be deprived of freedom to enlarge upon your existence and to expand upon your existence and to project your existence into bigger and better pictures of life. Whereas those things that are held in the mold of nature, of their behavior that's given to them by nature, and their freedom that's given to them by nature, they are held in that mold. And you are now, you are able to come from off your knees, not literally, off of your life of being no higher and no more productive and no more free than the animals that are walking on fours. You're able to rise up from that position on the totem pole of life and come into the freedom of your human form. Come into the productivity of your human form. Come into the visions of your human form. And outstretch everything existing on the planet Earth. This is a wonderful creation, the human creation. And that's what you need to turn life on for you. So that no matter what you face, or no matter what you're confronted with, from the natural world or man's world, it won't set you back. That is, not in your hopes, not in your dreams, not in your vision, not in your determination to achieve better. I'm not giving you anything that is already given, even before man is made. Life is hunger. Hunger drives life. Feeding hungers makes life grow bigger. The bigger the life, the bigger the invitation to life. Life invites bigger appetites. Life grows and hunger grows. On the ground, life grows bigger and life multiplies. Many varieties of life eventually are present to look at. The ground grows to be beautiful and rich. Life on the move is working like a timepiece. To know if a timepiece is working, look to see if the timepiece is doing what it is known for doing. The hands are going from big to little, from little to big. The timepiece is working. To know if the human life is working, look to see if life is doing what life is known for doing over the long road of human history. The hands of life are going from big grown-ups to little children. From those children growing up, back to the old or the grown-ups. The hands reaching out from the present for the future. The timepiece is working. The grown-ups stretching their hands out to the children. Their children, in return, stretch their hands out to the grown-ups. Life is working. The ground floor spreads more to serve mouths, hungry mouths, more than a meal for the flesh, to serve what is needed for the whole of life. Life needs food. Life needs a food source. And an address to call my spread. Yes. Life needs a clothing source, a housing source, a promising job, a money source. Such as this, every form of life was formed to afford. Spreading sands, terrains brings hard times, like the deserts of Africa and other places. Deserts that once flourished, but by natural causes, we say, they became deserts. However, were the preceding generations kind-hearted or kind-natured? And were moved toward the future to be attentive to future needs, they would have fed the land in return. They would have fed the land that fed them. That is the ground from which they were getting their food. They would have fed the land, given back to the land, so there would be a better future for their children. When the old have passed on their usefulness and are resting in peace.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Hear what the bigger world, the world bigger than man, or the world that man did not make. Hear what it has to say. Natural phenomena, picture talks, the sky view, the clouds, the night view, the returning day, the positions of moon, the position of sun, the lower position of moon, the higher position of the sun, picture view talks, the sun rising to the higher position is defended on more than one account. Firstly, the sun puts light on matters not seen in the dark. And again, the sun fires up production. When the sun is shining on a garden, and the sun light is bright and hot, the production of beans is much greater. Not only beans, but other crops as well. The sun lifts the human spirit. And then the sun sets for a well-deserved rest. And what is the picture talk? It is rest. The sun rests upon his labor. The sun has labored from dawn to sunset.
That's right.
And it has fed not only the mouths, but it has fed also the spirit.
Yeah. All right.
And it rests, it takes its rest.
Yeah.
Fed the body and the spirit. And it takes this rest. Well-deserved rest, I repeat, because all day, all the daylight time, it was laboring. This is speaking of the sun with the voice of the poet, with the voice of the philosopher, or with the voice of the singer who speaks of the sun rolling round in heaven all along. All along. Yes. Rolling around in heaven. But that sun doesn't really roll around in heaven for foolishness. It comes up and makes the arc, half the circle, going up and going down, back down to rest. But to go uphill is not easy. And to roll downhill too fast is dangerous. So the sun has a great message. It goes up and then it goes down. It seems to be rising slowly, and it seems to set fast. Once it gets close to the earth, it seems to just set fast.
That's right.
Well, that's the time you can speed up a little bit, when the fall is not too long. But it goes down slowly. And then when it gets near the earth, it quickly goes to its rest. There is great guidance that the world itself, the natural world, or the world of natural phenomena, imparts to the curious and thinking person who's thinking not on himself, thinking not on the glory of man, but thinking on the wonders of creation. The wonders of creation. That kind of thinking produced what is called philosophers. It produced what is called seers. It even produced what is called prophets.
Right.
In scriptures, we have prophets saying that they studied God's handiwork. I'm using the exact word in scripture that they use, handiwork. It means the work that they thought that God's controls brought about. And they said that that work itself brought them to believe in God, to believe that this couldn't have happened in such a marvelous way, to speak to human souls, mind, and spirit, and make the human mind and the human life so resourceful and so productive. They said that this couldn't happen without there being an intelligence bigger than man bringing it about. That's the thinking, I repeat, of the philosophers from whom this world got science, the sciences. And that's the speaking of prophets who brought the great religions to earth for us. Now, we want to have a peaceful life. We want to have happiness.
Yeah.
We want to have comforts.
Right.
Don't rest on foolishness.
Right. On.
When I say rest, I mean find relief. Not just go to bed at night from a day's work or from a day's activities. I'm talking about resting your energies, resting your efforts. That the message that we get from the sunrise and the sunsetting. Yes, resting your energies, resting your efforts. So we want to rest our energy, we want to rest our efforts. We go to fun, that's okay. We go to a party. That's okay. We go to a gathering, a social gathering. All of that's okay. But don't go to something that's going to bring your good life down.
Yeah.
If the party appeals to your indecency, that will bring your good life down. If it appeals to your ignorance, that will bring light down.
Right.
If it appeals to your wildness,
yeah,
that will bring light down.
Yeah.
So find relief, yes, as the sun takes relief in the darkness after it worked all the time in the light, all the day long in the light.
Yeah,
it takes relief in the darkness. It rests.
Yeah, yeah.
To rejuvenate itself.
Yeah.
So it come back up again strong to face the long day of work again.
Yeah.
And that's what we should do.
Yeah.
We should rest upon our labor.
Right.
a man gets more satisfaction, a woman too, but I'm speaking to a man right now, a man gets more satisfaction resting upon his labor than he gets from any other kind of rest. When he has worked and he looks at his work and he knows he has progressed his work, he knows he has made an achievement. He has made an accomplishment, he accomplished things that he had in his heart and mind to do. When he looks at it after he finished his labor, that's the best rest that he will ever get. He cannot get any rest better than that. That makes it possible for him to sleep through the night. These people who think that rest is just on play, fun, having a ball, they sometimes can't rest at night. In New York, they call New York, you know, the city that never sleeps. And you find in New York, at any time of the night, people out on the streets, especially youngsters.
That's right.
Out on the streets.
Right.
Why? Because they can't rest at night. So they stay up all night and sleep in the day. They're called night people. That's what they call them, night people. They're out in the streets all night. When day comes, they go home to rest, to sleep. This is a reversal of their original nature. Every living thing, except maybe a few widows among the jungle creatures, they are widows in our life. They become widows, weird widows, okay? In our life. It's okay if he's out there in the jungle as a snake, or out there in the jungle as a bat that's blind in the daytime, or as a cat hunting, or lion herding, or night creature. They're okay out there. But if you become that kind of creature and don't know how to place that scene, you become very weird.
Right.
Yes. But if you see the darkness in the jungle as the confusion of light, that permits no light of understanding, then you can become a night hunter, hunting through the confusion of the world to make it through the night, to see another day. Yes. This world is too big for man. This world is too big for man. And the best work that man has done is the work that he has done reading creation, reading natural phenomena, and then extracting from natural phenomena the knowledge, the message, the science for building his world. So never think that man has stepped ahead of matter. He never steps ahead of matter. Matter is always ahead of man. And he will stop moving forward if he turns himself off from matter. Science continues to grow because man continues to go to matter to get science. Yes. And everything else that we have of benefit in our life, we owe it to the earth and to the heavens that imparts also picture instructions to the man, to the mind of human beings. So we are the product of our mother. And our mother is firstly Mother Earth. Then we are the product also of the heavens. And the heavens taken together or seen together with the earth represents all matter. And what is all matter? Mother, again. Big Mama. Yes? All matter is Big Mama. So man has to expand his interest and expand his vision. to include all matter in his interests. And then he can take help from the skies. Huh? And the scripture says, not one, but both. The scripture says, you are supplied, your needs are supplied from heaven and from earth. Your needs, speaking of all people, not one people, speaking of all people. Scripture says, I'm speaking of scripture in the total picture of scripture. For after all, our scripture, the last book for Muslims called Quran, is a continuation of scripture that was before the Quran. So scripture is one continuous movement, one continuous progression to bring home the promise so that everybody can have it in its completion. Yes, matter, Mother Earth, but then matter itself, all matter. And if we can look at the picture of natural phenomena, are all matter, and see for yourself with your own thinking, with your own mind, see its beauty, see its conversation, see its language that is important through its pictures. The picture of sun.
Yes.
The picture of sunlight.
Yes, sir.
Where it going? The sun sends its light. And it sends its light to its job.
Yes.
The job of energizing dead things and bringing dead things to life. With the help of water and air, we know. Yes. So and you know what? If you really study the physical sky, the lower sky clouds, the of clouds, the higher heavens of stars, you study all that, you get a great message. The clouds form. And many times they form promising good health to a dry garden or dry farmland. Huh?
Yes,
promising good health. And it makes the farmer so happy when he sees the rain clouds gathering. Now, when they gather now, the sun is not going to be out. The sun is not going to be out. The clouds are forming. And he's so happy.
Yes.
The lower heavens is promising relief to his dry land.
Right.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
Yes. And sometimes the same picture promises bad times. Storms. Loss of life, etc. But if you read the whole, if you read not just Mother Earth, but you read Mother Matter, you know in bad times that what I'm seeing is not really an absence of the sun. The sun is still where it always it was intended to be.
Right.
It's there, but this disturbance is blocking my view. The sun is still on time, rising and setting, shining and producing energy for life and production, even while this trouble is hanging overhead. Yes. So if you read it that way, you have the patience to survive the time of trouble. to see another time of great hope. Huh? See, this is what we need to give to our children, to our young generation, so that the world doesn't crush them. The world doesn't kill hope in them. They live and they have confidence, even when the White House is upset. Even when the government is clouding up the view. Huh? The clouds are forming from the White House and clouding up our view. And we're saying, oh, this is a bad time. Huh? Yes, it is. But with the right view on matter, Mother Earth and Mother Matter, with the right view on that, you can endure. You can even be happy when everything else is sad. Huh? You can be happy. Because you know it's just a matter of time when the clouds are going to disappear. The trouble is going to go away. And it's going to be a bright, sunny day of hope and production again. Huh? So don't underestimate the handiworks of the Creator. Huh? He writes a script bigger than anybody's holy book. And if you can read it, you will have life eternity. Life eternal. Yes. You don't have to die in one generation. Pass that hope to your children, and they will, and your life will continue in them. Not just your biological life, but your spiritual life will continue in your children. Your rational life will continue in your children. Your vision for the future will be continued in your children. And that's how communities under God thrive and survive all the troubles that man can produce. And their generation keeps the covenant. They keep the covenant. They keep the contract with God, the Maker. Huh?
Yes, sir.
And they outlive the devil even. Yes, they outlive the devil. The devil has to set. He has to go down, get out of the picture. Live to put the devil to rest. I'm telling you. Yes, so we should look at what man is doing when we are miserable and question him. He's not God. And his works is not the bigger work. His work is the smaller work. The bigger work is the mother matter. The universe. And some of us, we talk about getting our crown of stars. Yes, get my crown of stars. And we don't know what we're talking about. Crown of stars don't mean something physical, some trinket. That you're going to wear on your head physically as a cap or a hat or something. Crown of stars means that the great wisdom on high that reveals to man by picture language how he should order his own world down here.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Don't try to have one light. The higher knowledge is the knowledge of the higher sky or the higher heavens. The sun is one light. Don't try to have one light, but have many lights.
Yes. All right.
See the bigger picture.
Yes.
See how many big suns, like our sun, are distance away, and we can't see them except at night with the help of telescopes sometimes. But we can see them visibly with our eyes. We can't understand them all the time. And they are big stars with their families. And they are moving in the heavens or in matter space, just like our sun. So matter space accommodates many great leaders with their following. So don't be selfish. Want to have one leader, and that's you. You want to be the only leader? No. To have the bigger picture and the bigger world and the bigger rewards, we have to welcome every qualified son, every qualified leader. Come on and let us work together. Let us be one matter system. And let us serve life here and hereafter. That's the way we should be. I don't know what you call God, but whatever made Mother Matter. Made Mother Matter to mother all of us. To nourish the mind, spirit, and soul of all of us. And grow us up. And prepare us to be grown-ups in her system. Working with the best of the people. And respecting the rights of every qualified person. To have their own environment. To have their own place. To have their own freedom of movement. To move their own following. As long as we conform to the overriding system. Created by the one bigger than it all. Allahu Akbar. You said it, brother. You said it. God is bigger. Yes, God is bigger. Yes. Now, you know, we're looking at these little small jobs we got down here to do. And we're just bumping heads and stumbling over each other and setting each other back, sometimes accidentally, sometimes on purpose. Yes. And we think we got something going. These things, not even big as ants. Yeah, but that kind of work is a smaller work than the work of ants. And they're small. Sometimes you can't even see them. But my eye is dimming a little bit, you know. I have to look close to see an ant crawling on the sidewalk now, especially if it's a small one. And I remember I used to see them from a distance before I even got to them. See a little small ant crawling. Yes. But those little ants, they got a bigger world than petty people backbiting, backstabbing, scheming to get over, ahead and over somebody else. That is too ridiculous to tolerate. We shouldn't tolerate that from each other. We are supposed to be each other's friend. We are supposed to be each other's brother and sister. When we see someone behaving like a night creature crawling on the earth, we should tell them, lift yourself up, brother. Lift yourself up, sister. That mind you got has reduced you to a little night creature crawling around on the earth. Yes. And this is another thing that we should observe, that how the picture language of Mother Matter reaches us. Have you noticed that most things that live under the ground, they are not so attractive? When you look at them, they look dull. They don't have bright looking light. They look dull. Now also on the desert. And there's some people who wants to be great leaders, but they don't want us to have the garden. They want to keep life a desert. They don't produce any beauty on the land. They are not interested in beautifying the ground, beautifying the land. They're like a desert. Few flowers scattered about. You have to go for miles and miles just to find a beautiful flower. And when you find it, it's beautiful. It's really beautiful. And I'm telling you, if you can survive on this desert that they create for us, you beautiful. You are really beautiful. But you don't find it in abundance. You don't find the big tree of flowers. You don't find the big bush of flowers. It's a little dainty thing, very small. But God has favored it to survive. The greed, the selfishness of persons who just rather see nothing than to have people share in it. Huh? So we have people right among us who are working hard to keep our environment a desert. Now, how do you expect for them to look when you find them? How are they going to look to a believer? They're going to look like a creeper, a critter, living under a rock, and coming out because they're ashamed of how bad they look. They come out, sneak out. And when they get out, they run real fast to hurry up and get back up under the rock because they're ashamed of this old dull look that they got. This old fleshless look that they got. This old beauty void look that they got. So they're coming out, they were ashamed of the way they look. They just run out of the rock, and when they think it's clear, they run out from under the rock, run and grab something, and run right back up under the rock. Not only animal creatures or insects, but also the plants that grow up. This thing grew up in the desert, and it looks unattractive. You don't want to embrace it. You don't want to take it in your hands and hug it. You don't want to put it in your hair, sister, stick it in your hair like you do those nice little flowers. You don't want to stick it in there. It might prick your skin and bring blood. Thorns and thistles. Huh? That's that barren land. Producing thorns and thistles. This is what? Mother Matter speaking. Mother Matter talking. It ain't just out there to exist. God made the world to speak to the mind and open the mind for bigger pictures and equip the mind for better futures. Huh? Yes. So believe me, it's time to wake up, come out of your confusion, stop glorifying man, and look at Mother Earth, and look at the bigger mother, Big Mama, Mother Matter. And I'm going to bring this broadcast, this first Sunday broadcast, to a conclusion, wishing you all God's blessings, wishing you all freedom, but the freedom to go where Mother Matter invites us to go. Not the freedom to go to that brings life down, makes life indecent, weak, and inferior, and keep the communities stale, static, non-productive. We thank God for this day, and thank God for this freedom to reach you by way of broadcast and radio. And we appreciate all of you who have made efforts to open more opportunities for us to speak on more stations and reach more people in these great United States. We thank you very much. May God give you rewards forever for your good work. And may you work together as brothers and sisters and be in the big picture. Yes. And don't let yourself, your own work, reduce you to a little small, unattractive thing. Yes, sir. And lastly, we know that it costs money. We appreciate your efforts you are making to raise funds to finance the Sunday broadcast, the first Sunday of the month broadcast. We appreciate all of you. And the Mosque Cares is always here. We will also dispense some funds when needed or when the business people can't provide for this need. We are prepared also to make funds available because this is very important. It's very important that life work together. And that people who have life in them be told that there are efforts made not by one individual, but efforts made by organizations that are community organizations,
right.
Efforts being made to help brighten life up and lift life up for progress on this earth. So we want you to know that. You have many friends and brothers and sisters working for the whole. Never feel that you are alone. Never feel that something is not being done about bad conditions in the world. And lastly, I know I have come to believe in angels. And I know even while we are working and thinking we have no help among human beings, angels are always aware, and they are working with us. So don't give up. Keep your faith, and don't let the nasty and inhuman world kill your spirit. Peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar.
Now, I'm going to take a few minutes break, and I'm going to ask if there are any announcements or anything that has to be brought to our attention to please do it now. Yes, Sister Amatullah, come forward. I'm going to take a little break here, and then we're going to talk about salvation, and we're going to talk about the Savior. Because I, for some reason, God didn't intend for me to be in Detroit. But we're here today. No Imam W. Dean Muhammad. And it's on a Sunday, so traffic is very heavy on the weekend, Saturdays and Sundays. So they tell me to go to a certain gate, and I could get a flight to Detroit. But they couldn't guarantee it because I would have to go standby. So I went there and I waited for that plane. It came in. As soon as it got in, they didn't call anybody. In fact, they said the plane is full. Plane is full. So I couldn't go on that plane. I stayed there like 3:30 at the airport, trying to get something, and I was unable to get it. And I said, well. Muslim pulled to tie his camel. And under the circumstances, I tried to tie my camel. But still, nothing happened. I wasn't able to go to Detroit. So I believe that some of you are here today that was there in Detroit. And I thank you for understanding. And thank you for your great spirit. Thank you for your presence here today. And inshallah, I will go over the important matters that I had for that occasion. Now, you know, I'm going to give you what Mr. Farrar was giving us. I was a baby at that time, but he was giving it to all of us. I'm going to give you what Mr. Farrar, the teacher of my father, who actually taught my mother how to cook the Nation of Islam food, what came to be the Nation of Islam food. He actually worked in the kitchen with my mother, showing my mother how to make those dishes, brown the rice and everything. And he also did it. My aunt has passed away too, but he also taught my aunt. She was one of the secretaries, one of his secretaries. I'm talking about the one who taught my father, not my father. She was one of his secretaries, and he taught her how to cook too, in her kitchen, taught her how to cook. my aunt Bernstein, who passed away a few years ago in Detroit, Michigan. Yes, so this man that I'm talking about, he spoke in language that he called mathematical theology. This is written by in the lessons by him. This is not, this can be proven. So I know there's a lot of Dalton Thomases in here, and a lot of those who want to keep to their old way of thinking. But if you're here, then understand this, that I love you just the way you are. You don't have to change a bit. I love you just the way you are. Because I know even though you hold those old original ideas, you are good people, you have good hearts, you mean well, you live good lives, and I love you. I love you very much. But I wish you would accept freedom. Freedom is here now. Yeah. And he promised freedom, justice, and equality. That's what he promised. Freedom, justice, and equality. That's what he said Islam was. And it used to be written on the blackboard. Painted on the blackboard. So you couldn't erase it all. And it had the American flag on one side and the Nation of Islam flag on the other side. And between the two flags, it had the bad treatment that we were getting back there. A black man hanging from a noose, from a rope, on a tree, from a tree limb. And the letters on the national flag, the Nation of Islam flag, were F-J-E. And on the staff of the flag was I. And the letter I stood for Islam. And that was to say to us that in Islam, you are promised freedom, justice, and equality. And I remember the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in the earlier days when I was a preteen and a teenager and even a little after that. Whenever you walked into the temple door, you opened the temple door, the first thing you would see, if the speaker wasn't speaking, would be that blackboard with that picture on it, saying what I just gave to you. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad would hardly ever miss saying on Sundays when he gave his speeches, his talk, his message, he wouldn't hardly ever miss saying that Islam is freedom, justice, and equality. That went into me as a boy and as a teenager. It went into me. And I was shown pictures of our people, actual lynchings that were still, my father saved old papers. He saved old papers that showed actual lynchings of our people were hanging from a tree. One picture I remember seeing looked like to me it was at least five, it might have been as many as seven or eight black men hanging from trees where they lynched them in a group. They lynched a number of them, not one person, and they were hanging in a group. I remember him giving me a picture. I don't like to tell you about it. I don't like to look at it. I don't like to think about it. But I have to.
Thank you so much for joining us. And may Allah's peace be upon you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Address today is addressed directly to Muslims. However, we are aware of the fact
that what Allah has revealed for Muslims is also for the whole world, if the world will accept it. the topic we have chosen is that the management of spiritual and material concerns. By putting these two concerns together, a lot is to be gotten. The big problem for most of us is that we separate these two concerns. And we think that the spiritual concern is left for the preacher and the material concern is left for us. When both these concerns burden everybody equally, everybody is brought to his success or to his doom because of the mismanagement of these two concerns, the spiritual concern and the material concern. I'm not speaking of spiritual concern in the sense that it is commonly understood. I'm not talking about religious rituals, spiritual values, religious rituals, and things like that. I'm talking about the tendency in us to favor certain things and not to favor certain things. For example, some of us have a tendency to favor good times, and good times in our mind is going to a dance and a party and listening to music and dancing and having good time on the weekend. To us, that's good time. And many of us just live just for that, to go out on the weekend and party and dance, and that's for us, that's a good time. The tendency in you is spiritual. The tendency toward that, the tendency in you is spiritual, and that's what I mean by spiritual, spiritual concern. We don't have this idea in our religion of spiritual life separate from material life. For Muslims, the life is whole. It's one life. The life is whole. I have a physical body, but I don't function just as a physical body. I also have mind in here that's abstract, and I have a spirit in this body. And all these things work together. The whole works for me has to be told in terms of all three. In terms of my physical body, my mind, and my spirit. Now, most of us are trying to use our minds, but our spirit getting in our way. And that's the main thing that I hope to bring to your attention today, is the need for us to manage our spirit. People who try to manage their spirit develop powerful muscles. Powerful muscles. The best muscles for survival in the world, not these, and I'm pretty good with this too, especially when I was young, I was pretty good. Not these muscles. The best muscles for survival in the world are the spiritual muscles. The spiritual muscles. But not in that strict religious sense that most of us think of spiritual. Again, I'm talking about the tendency to be pulled in one direction and in another direction. If you can discipline yourself so that you don't allow influences to take you to the things that you know will bring you down, then you'll be successful in life. But if you can't discipline yourself in that way, you are sure to fail. Now, we go and look at what Allah has revealed to us in the Quran about the person, the self. And Allah, God says of the success and failure, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّاهَا. He will certainly be successful who invests in his soul, who spends on his soul, his own soul. And here soul is talking about that same concept that I'm trying to bring to you, the concept of the person as a person pulled by influences and tendencies. And the one who fails to do that, God says, قَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا, is certainly to fail. The one who neglects to invest in his own soul is certain to fail. For sure he will be a failure. We could just close with that. You could go home with that, and it would be enough. That's it. That's all of it. I told our imam, my associate in this work, I told him, I said, well, I know they're expecting a big deal. I said, well, it will be a big deal, but it's so simple I can do it in 2 minutes. If we will accept that. However, we know that Allah has not left us with that alone. He has given us the guidance, al-huda. And Allah Most High says in the Quran, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ. This is the book. Speaking of the revealed Quran, the last revelation. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. This is the book, and it is no defect, no mistakes, no doubt. لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Guidance for the upright. Guidance for the regardful. The God-fearing is translated in many, many different ways. It means guidance for the people of conscience. Guidance for the people of conscience. And for Muslims, conscience begins with God. We must first be conscious of Allah. Ittaqullah. Be conscious of Allah. Be regardful of Allah. And it goes on to things important, other things in their importance, according to their importance. It includes even regard for our family relations. So, wal arham, wal arham, and the family ties, or the family relations. We are to taqi Allah, also wal arham, and also the family relations. Many mistakes have been made in translation into English by people, intelligent, well-meaning, good Muslim scholars, but who didn't have the command of English, especially for American people. So they have given good translations, but those translations need improvement now. That's why sometimes we take one term and we have to explain it in several ways before we can see it as we should see it. The management of material and spiritual concerns is only possible for us. We might think we are being successful. It's only possible for us if we have something directing us, a deciding authority in our life, an authority in our life that decides everything else. The only successful ones will be those who acknowledge an authority in their lives above everything else. If you're not acknowledging an authority in your life above everything else, you're going to be a failure. Even the man who looks, or the woman who looks at their life, and in a very practical sense, and almost oblivious, unconscious of what should be the authority of God in their life or anything, they're not thinking about religion or church or mosque or synagogue or anything like that. All they're thinking about is being successful in their life, being successful as an employer, being successful as a business person, as a career person. They're just thinking about being successful. If they don't have an overriding authority in their life, they're not going to be successful. Now, understand this. Allah in our religion does not close the door of material things and benefits to people because they don't acknowledge him. Allah says in our holy book, the doors to those things are open to all. You can make money. Allah is not going to say, oh, did he take the shahada? Is he a follower of Muhammad, my last prophet? Well, I'm not going to let him get rich. No, he said the doors to those things are open to all. But my special blessing is only for my devotees. So he has a blessing that's better than all that. And you can't get that without being devoted to him sincerely. What does it mean in just simple words? It means you can have the material world, whether you respect God or not. You can have much of that. But you will never be really happy. You will never be satisfied. You will never be pleased. If you want to be at peace and satisfied and feel good about yourself, you have to put Allah, you have to put your Creator before the world. You have to value the goal of having satisfied your Creator more than you value your ambitions in the world. See, that's the simple answer to that. However, we have to understand, too, that for Muslims, we are not bothered with the problem of seeing material requirements in our life as something by nature in opposition or against the real human life. In other words, no matter how saintly we become in this religion, we should never take on spiritualism in that sense. We should never take on spiritualism to the degree that we begin to fear material involvement. Material involvement. Work in the material field should never be a threat to us or to the life that we choose for ourselves. The answer is simply to serve Allah, the God of both the spiritual and the material. And He requires us in our lives as Muslims, He requires us that we progress spiritually and in every other way. Spiritually and in every other way. No matter how good I am spiritually, no matter how good I am morally, no matter how good I am intellectually, if I have no material progress in my life, that's a sin on me. Say, well, how is that, Brother Imam? Allah says, وَبْتَغِي فِيمَا أَتَاكَ اللَّهُ دَارُ الْآخِرَةِ. Seek with what He has made available to you, by what He has made available to you, your intelligence, your muscle, your stand, everything you got to make progress. Seek with all of that the hereafter. Now, let us slow down right here. Look, God tells me to seek the end, the paradise, with everything that He's made available to me. That means even to gain the promise of the hereafter, or to be in good shape with God in the hereafter, I have to use my moral nature, my moral force, my spiritual force, my intellect, my physical force, everything in my possession. I should be marshaling everything in my resources to make progress toward the hereafter. So a person in our religion, working for the hereafter, he wants to make a good showing in school. He wants to make a good showing in education. He wants to make a good showing in science. He wants to make a good showing in physics, whatever. He wants to make a good showing in business. He wants to make a good showing in culture. He wants to make a good showing in everything that he's involved in, everything that he's attracted to. He wants to make a good showing there because God has told him to make good use of whatever I have made available to you for the hereafter. Make good use of it for the hereafter. Our prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, we know that he said, live today as though today is going to be the end of you. That means, don't say, oh, I have tomorrow, I have next year. I'll take care of it then. Don't put off for tomorrow what you can do today. That's another way of saying what he said. And then he also said, live as though you're never going to die. So now, if I know I got many years in the future to go, I should have some long-distance plans. Yes. So this is the way the prophet has taught us. And we know that he has warned us against the pitfalls of material appetite. And we are to keep a balance. We are not to let our material appetites hurt our moral nature or any other aspect of our nature. And we are not to let our spiritual life deny us progress in the material world or in any other avenue of life. We are not hermits. We don't withdraw from the world, no matter how holy we want to be. We never withdraw from the world and leave the world to those who want business, and we take to the hills and levitate somewhere. We don't do that. Our religion is a complete religion. Our way of life is a complete way of life. It's called a comprehensive religion. Comprehensive religion, requiring that we devote attention to all important matters for the human, natural human being. We are saved from extremism. We are saved from extreme of materialism. We will be saved from the extremes of spiritualism. We will be saved from that. Because Allah for us, is a God that asks of us obedience to Him. But he also asks that we fulfill all obligations. That we fulfill our obligation to our parents. We fulfill our obligation to our families. We fulfill our obligation to those who have assisted us, to those whom we are in debt. We fulfill our obligations to society, And it begins with your neighbor next door. So if we accept Allah, knowing what Allah has asked of us, if we accept to obey Allah, to come under His authority, how can we go into these extremes? Our religion is so plain. Our religion is so plain and so complete in its instruction to us that we will never go into these extremes. You find any Muslims going into extremes and becoming materialistic, they have stopped worshiping Allah as Allah is to be worshipped in Quran. And as Prophet Muhammad demonstrated to us, they have left that. They have left the idea of their religion. They have left the motivation that should be in all Muslims. And that motivation is, first of all, to recognize the authority, overriding authority in your life, that is Allah, your creator, and follow the guidance, the book, the Quran, as lived and demonstrated to us, to the Muslims, by the Prophet that he chose to give that revelation to, for all the world, Muhammad, the peace and the blessings be on him. It is very simple. If we're having trouble in Chicago, Los Angeles, New York, or Detroit, or anywhere else, if we're having trouble succeeding with our life, it's because we are not established in that life. First, we have to be established in that life. To be established in the Muslim life, you have to do more than just hear what it is to be a Muslim. You have to make a decision to be a Muslim. And to be a Muslim is not just coming here and praying with us or praying together and saying assalamu alaikum wa alaikum assalam. That's not that's small. Being a Muslim is obeying Allah. Being a Muslim is being conscious of the requirement on you, requirement in your life to obey Allah. Right. Not just to read the Quran, you have to obey Allah. Right. You have to feel bad when you miss your prayer. Amen. You have to feel hurt inside when you miss your prayer. If you can go on missing your prayers, you don't feel no hurt, it doesn't bother you, you will never be successful as a Muslim. But if it bothers you that you have to miss your prayer today, or that you miss your prayer at Maghrib, or you miss your prayer at Fajr time, at dawn time in the morning before the sun comes up, if it bothers you, then you have the religious spirit of the Muslim. If it bothers you that you are not eating halal meat, you're eating animals that are not killed properly, or you're eating things that may be contaminated for a Muslim, with the pork or pork essence or something, if it bothers you that you have to be in a situation like that, then you're in a good situation spiritually for the Muslim life. But if that doesn't bother you, we don't expect for you to be successful as a Muslim. And believe me, many of us haven't got acquainted yet with the teachings of the Quran, the blast revealed book from Allah, the Lord Creator. We haven't got acquainted with it enough yet. We haven't got acquainted with the life of the Prophet enough yet, peace be upon him, to really understand the seriousness of these things that Allah has asked of Muslims. That you don't take intoxicants. That means whether it's in the liquid form or drug form or substance or material, drug, what do you call dope, whatever form it's in. If it takes your senses away, you're not to take it. It's a great sin. And it's a sin of the works of Satan himself. Amin al-Shaytan, the Quran says. From the works of the Satan himself. So you are not to do that. It's a very serious matter. You are not to lie. If Muslim, if you call yourself Muslim and you go on in the habit of lying, doesn't bother you? All of us will lie occasionally. But some of us got a conscience. If you have no conscience, forget about it. You're not going to be successful as a Muslim. We have to acknowledge Allah as the uppermost authority in our life. The deciding authority in our life. See, we need an authority to manage other authorities. And if there's no deciding authority in our life, management is poor or not to be found. Don't you know the people that have the greatest difficulty managing life in the world, in the modern world, is the African-American people? All of the people that I know, according to my knowledge of it, I'm going by what I know, and I think I'm pretty well up on it, the people with the greatest problem managing their life in the world is the African-Americans. Now, why? We're not stupid. We're bright. We're brilliant people. We're very intelligent people. So how come we have this big failure, this big ugly thing? It's because we do not accept an overriding authority in our lives. And I hate to criticize Christianity, but Christianity is the most risky religion I know of. It has its superior points, but it's the most risky religion I know of. It leads the average person to face too many risks, too many dangerous risks. You can't succeed without rational guidance in your life. You can't be successful with people that have intelligence and people that respect the power of reason, with people that think logically and plan on the basis of what is sound logic. You can't be successful in competition with those people, trusting that the Spirit is going to save you and deliver you, and you don't have to do nothing but just say, I believe in Christ. You ain't going to make it with that. If people could make it with that, the African-American would be in control.
Well,
we begin by stressing the way we are to look at our life if we are to be successful. That is, look at the life as one cooperate whole. Everything works together, and everything should be working together. When things are working separate in you, you have problems. If your mind is in one kind of discipline, going after one thing, and your moral life is in another one, or your spiritual life is in another, you're in trouble. We need something that addresses the whole of our life and give direction to the whole of our life and brings the whole of our life under authority one. One authority. That accounts for success. You may say, well, how come you Muslims ain't doing so well? And the Muslim may say, well, brother, how come those Muslims in Africa ain't doing so well? I've told you already. We've gotten out of contact. We've lost contact with what we should be following. We are not in touch with what we should, be following. We are not in touch with the guidance. Those who are in touch with it are successful. If they're in touch with it, they stay with it, they're bound to be successful. They have to be successful. No other way. And Allah says that, doesn't he? He says, and the believers must triumph. He says the believers must triumph. That means that this is guaranteed. If you are sincere and faithful and true to what he asks of you, he says you must triumph. And we have a history of those who are faithful to what Allah asks of them. And we have a history of triumphant people, very successful people, people who are now being looked at again after centuries of darkness being over the picture. They're being looked at again, and you may have saw on public television or some other channel or some other network, you might have seen them telling the American people of how the American civilization is indebted to the first followers and the community of the Prophet, peace and the blessings be on him. They're studious scholars. They're science research people. They're scientists. How they brought about a reawakening of the mind and intellect of the scholars, and guided them toward the revival of the sciences and the revival of civilization. You're hearing that now, not from Muslims only, but you're hearing that now from the Western people themselves. I've seen some very, very excellent programs on television. No one even told me about it. I just happened to be there, and the television was there, and the channel was there on the right channel, and excellent program where the truth was being told about the excellence of Muslims and what they contribute to bring about the renaissance, the reawakening of civilization and intelligent pursuits in the Western world, and made possible what we have here now. Advances in civilization, appreciation for moral and ethical life. I read myself a book and part of a book by a writer, a Western writer, where he said that, and he documented these things, that the Crusades, where it has to be seen as an ugly thing, but a lot of good came out of it, because he said that those wars brought Christians and Muslims in direct contact with each other. And he said that when the Christians saw that the Muslim soldiers could fight the war very effectively and still take a bath and shave regularly, they decided to do the same. I'm not making jokes to anybody. I'm just telling you what he said. See? And really, I don't look down on European people for that. When you see where the European people came from, and even in medieval times, if we know where they came from, ancient times, how they lived in ancient times, before civilization, before even the Greek knowledge dawned on this planet, when we study their life, their superstitious life. Oh, they were really insane. You know, the North can scare you more than the South. Yeah, the environment of the North is more scary than the environment of the South. Can you imagine being up there hearing all those spooky winds up there and all that ice and snow and huge hills of nothing but ice and snow, big white hill of death. You know, cold is death. All of those mountains of death standing all around, and it gets so dark up there. Sometimes they experience, in some parts of the North, they experience 6 months of darkness. That's where the expression midnight sun comes from. It'd be dark in the daytime, then they experience 6 months of day. It'd be nighttime, but they still can see the sun. Now, you know, people that live like that, in an environment like that for hundreds and thousands of years, you know, it can be spooked up some terribly. And I read about the spirituality of the Germans and certain other European people before enlightenment came to them, how spooky and how superstitious they were. And they were given to savagery, their superstition, allowed them to be savage and some of the horrible things that they would do, just like animals. They can trace their own history back to a state where they were just like crazy, enraged animals. Even their idea of God was an intoxication that fed violence and insanity in them. Their God was a mad thing. Their idea of God was a mad creature, you know. Yeah, for many of them. Now, I'm not saying that other parts of the world didn't experience the same thing, but I think the North is more spooky than the South. That's what I'm saying. The North is more spooky than the South. See, the South shows organic development, right? Yeah, you go to the South, you got organic development there. And that organic data development, just it communicates with the intellect. And if you don't believe this has some bearing, if you who want to study, you scholars, you pretenders, scholars already know, right? You pretenders, you guys who want to play scholars, go and study it for yourself. Just study the past history, ancient history, and before they got enlightenment and civilization. See what they were believing in, see what their behavior was. Study the environment there, and you'll come to the same conclusion. If you're intelligent, you'll come to the same conclusion. And they didn't make progress until they met with people outside of that environment. There. Study their history. They didn't make any progress until they met with people outside of that environment. And the more they came south, the more they liked it. Now you find them all over the South. All over the South. That's not the natural home for the European man, not for the strict Caucasian man. That's not the natural home for him. His home is not the tropics. He likes it there. And now it is his home because, by choice, now it is his home. But the pure European stock, that so-called pure white man, he came from the North. If the environment colors you like it is, white environment, snow, ice, white environment, white man. You see? Yeah, you got the dough, you don't put it in the oven, white dough. You take the biscuit, put it in the oven of Africa, black dough. Yeah. Someone called me up on the radio. That's why I have to talk like this. And they say some things that make me feel so hurt and embarrassed. I was talking on the telephone to the radio station here, and when one sister said something, I did this in the teeth. I had to pull myself back up and lean on the desk and try to keep talking, you know, without them knowing that I had suffered a setback. I said, boy, oh boy, Lord Elijah Muhammad made so much progress. And here they took him back to the most primitive days of his leadership. I like to follow the line of progress. That's intelligent. Follow the line of progress. Don't go back to where the man in kindergarten. Don't go back to his kindergarten days and then project that. You put that little six-year-old boy up there. That's my leader, Elijah, when he was 6 years old. That's my man. I want Elijah when he was grown up and felt good about his achievements and was talking tough and had the courage to tell you to shape up. Even get rid of a lot of your false pride and conceit. Yeah, that's a real leader, a leader that'll tell his people to put down what you've had years ago. Put that down. Time is out for it. That's a sincere leader. That's a strong leader, too. Takes a strong leader to tell you to put down something that he was once telling you to pick up. As they say, wise men change, and you know the rest of it. The biggest challenge for the human being is to manage his life spiritually. spiritually, not materially. It ain't all the greatest threat is the material things on us. No, 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 no. The greatest threat is to you is spiritual, because that's working against you, and it's too powerful for you. Spiritual influences are too powerful for us. We cannot manage spiritual influences without Allah. No, you have to have Allah. These things he's given us a body. This own body will defeat me if I'm not careful. You see, some people, they become so vain, so much in love with their own body, the physical body, that the body sends them to the shrink, the psychologist. Some, the love of the body sends them to the grave. And you hear them dying with that disease where they want to stay so thin, and they love their beautiful thin self and get that disease, few of them have died with it. What they call orexia or something like that? Yeah. They get it and die because they just so upset with that body. Looking good. Well, our religion saves us by protecting for us that relationship upon which all other relationships depend. That shows the role of the individual, the great role of the individual in this religion. We are not to look at people and say because he doesn't have wealth, or because he's not a scholar, or because he's not in position of authority, we don't have to listen to him. No, his authority is that he knows what God said. That's his authority. He knows what Allah said. He knows what the Prophet, that's his authority. Yes. So praise be to Allah. I return now to the religion itself, that is the religion of Al-Islam, that is a comprehensive religion. It is a religion that addresses the total life and the total needs of man, and does not bring about a dichotomy or separation in the life of man where one side is working against the other or threatening the other. We know that anytime we give ourselves to extremism, that's going to be a threat. If we give ourselves to extremism in spiritual life, that's a threat. We give ourselves to extremism in material life, it's a threat. In our religion, all extremism is bad. Allah says God against extremes. And again, Allah says the devil invites you to extremes. So we can't close this address without mentioning the big danger that is presented to us by and the Satan himself, the devil. We know that when Allah created everything, he created it perfectly suitable to the best condition and the best opportunity for a human being. He made it the best. We call it paradise, right? He created paradise for us. And we know as Muslims what the Prophet has told us, that it was Satan who changed it. He changed it from paradise to a very perilous creation for man. He put enticement and what you call things to lure you from what Allah wants. He put enticements, attractions to lure us from what Allah wants. So he made the world very unsuitable and very dangerous for the servants, the obedient servants of God. The Satan did this. But it doesn't mean that we should see these things in their nature as being bad. No, they're not in their nature as being bad. They're bad only in our misconception of those things. We misconceive them. We misconceive the things. We misconceive the purpose for these things. And there lies the danger for us. But everything, even the pig. The pig is an animal. God says, don't eat the pig. So we can't raise pig for somebody else to eat. That's it. No pig. But look. Even that pig, Allah created him. He's of Allah's creation. You leave him alone, he's a good pig. Yeah, he's only a bad pig when you start eating him off your plate. Or selling him to somebody else for consumption. He's a good pig. Just leave him alone. He's a good pig. Now, I know that's difficult for some of you, because we must made that pig more important than Allah. Boy, a lot of us, we forget about Allah, but you mention that pig, you get our mind back. No, oh, man, I never touched any pork. How in the world could he eat pork? We never say, how in the world could he stop believing in Allah? No, how in the world could he eat pork, man? After knowing all the trichinas and trichinosis and the germs in that worm, that naked worm, man. I done heard him talk like that, you know. I don't see how that brother could go eat pork. I could do anything, man, but I don't think I could ever eat any pork. That's changed now, though. That was when we had a strong desire for moral strength in our life. But the atmosphere has changed now, you know. It's loose morals. So with loose morals, that same brother, now he said, oh, man, they ain't gonna kill you to eat a little piece of it. Dear Muslims, I'm sure that all of us are aware of the burden on us as a people. No matter how successful we are individually, I'm sure all of us are aware of the burden on us as a people. We waste our resources. We fear to invest wisely. We are inclined to gamble more so than to use our intelligence and good logic and plan a successful business or something. We give our money to a risk situation that's pure risk. We'd rather gamble than to invest wisely. I pray Allah that the Muslims will accept the Muslim responsibility to work for the life hereafter and also work for the life here and now. And don't be afraid to invest. We're not going to always be successful. If we believe in Allah, then if we see an investment that is proper for Muslims, and it looks like a good investment to us according to our own intelligence, we have studied it, we are not afraid. We know nothing is guaranteed. If we fail there, we will try again. And try again, as the expression goes. Yes, we never give up. Don't be foolish. Make calculated moves with knowledge. Get knowledge before you move. And be sure that you've done all the preliminary work, that you researched the matter, you studied the matter, or you looked into it, and go on and have the courage to invest. Look, success belongs to the people who have courage to invest. You invest nothing, you get nothing. Isn't that common sense? Isn't that what we've been told? You put nothing in, you get nothing out. Some of us can't even be farmers anymore. We afraid the seed won't come up. When our fathers and mothers, they had faith at least that the seed would come up. Yeah, they plant and expected a harvest and worked for a harvest. We have to be the same today. Put something, invest something in the world to get something out of the world. And if you're not in a position to invest, then work at getting yourself into a position to make an investment. You know when Allah tells us over and over again in the Quran to spend, you know most of the time what that means? Invest. Invest in the world of today for the good future tomorrow. But do it loving him and trying to obey him. Do it in obedience to Allah, and he assures us that we will be successful. Look at the money that comes through our hands. Those who study our financial situation as a people, they are saying that we are spending as a race or as a group in America much more than all the other groups are spending. No other group that we know of is spending like we are. We are great consumers, great spenders. We are spending great wealth. So you know what we are doing? We are giving business opportunity to other people. That's all we're doing. We're just giving business opportunity to other people. We are making other people rich. It's going out just buying. We're scared to put the dollar into the economy. We're spread to put the dollar into the financial workings of society. So we just, I'll buy that car. That's new. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, give me that coat. Give me two or three of those. You got to spend that money. You don't even trust the bank with it. So everybody getting rich, and we staying poor. I remember a time I was talking once on the need for us to invest and try to establish ourselves financially, and one brother said, well, brother, we ain't supposed to give ourselves to materialism. I said, Lord have mercy. I corrected it, though. I went back and got the evidence from Quran and the life of the prophet. Sure. A lot of us think the prophet was a poor man. Do you know our prophet, peace be upon him, was no poor man? Even before he was missioned as a prophet, he was a businessman. Businessman working in the employment of Lady Khadijah. Yes. May God be pleased with her, working in her employment. And he was such an asset that she put him over her business because he was so successful at what he did. She put him over her business. So our prophet, even before he became a prophet, he was a businessman. You should think about that. Say, oh, the prophet didn't have any money. He slept on a little thin man. Yeah, you sleep on one too. I would like to see us sleeping on a little thin mattress where you can feel a little small pepper if you, under it, you know. If you turn over on it, you see a little small pebble is up under this mattress. Yeah, that's the kind of mattress he slept on, you know. So thin that if a little small pebble was under it, he could feel it pressing his skin, you know, pressing against his skin. But I like for you to sleep like that too, if you like, you know. Yeah, that's very good. But when you wake up, let me see you ask, what is the financial situation of the good believers? Say, come, we want to improve you. We want to improve it. Here, you take this, go invest that. Invest this. Help the community. Prophet Muhammad had so much wealth, he just passed it out to bright and industrious and good-minded people. And give them just a lot of it. Say, go and invest it. Help to make money. Help to invest. Increase the wealth of the Muslims. Yes, and that's what I like to do. I just got to follow my prophet all the way. Yes, one day I see myself sitting there, and I tell him to open up vault number two. Yeah. Say how many of those. Mercedes dealerships I got now. Oh, no, thank you very much. Tell them I want to buy one of the new electric trains that they got out. I want a train. I want to have my own train. Yeah, I like to see that day, you know. Say, well, how many employees we got in that bank? You say, oh, 200. Well, we got more money here in the bank. It's this land up here, and we don't have any good investment opportunity right now except to invest in employment, build another bank that size, and just so we have more employees. You see how righteous money can be? Yeah. All you need to do is have your heart in the right place. Have your heart with Allah. Accept the guidance of the Quran and the life of our Prophet as example for us, and go on after establishing yourself not only spiritually but materially. Thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum.